Brady, while excellent compared to the average NFL quarterback, below his regular standard.
They're going to slow down the pace. They're going to make sure you don't get to Tom Brady. And just as easy as that, Jenna, they're going to win 12 games.
Dale Arnold.
Dale Arnold has a problem with free speech. He likes to censor Wiggy, but we do not censor Wiggy. We let him talk.
This is your first hockey game ever.
Dale, you are the godfather of WEEI.
Rich Key.
You've heard it right here. The Buffalo Bills will win the AFC East. Let's get it, Buffalo.
Yikes.
Dale and Keith, middays.
We finna invade Area 51 at the speed of Naruto runners. We all want the same goal, to bleep some bleep alien bleep.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We finna talk some sports today.
We finna. Sports?
And some other stuff. I mean, God knows where
it goes. Nice quick night for you at the old ballpark, Dale, last night?
So what are they doing? So not only is it a game that...
God.
By the way, David Phelps, relief pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I want him out of the league.
Yeah.
I want him
he's a bum.
Banned. No, I don't care if he can pitch or not.
He's a bum.
I want him banned from baseball.
Yeah.
Throw the damn ball for God's sakes.
I also thought it was a bit much for Toronto to score so many runs late. The game was already over. The Red Sox weren't coming back.
Stop running it up
here. You didn't need to do that. Putting on four in the ninth. Just move on from
all
that.
The unwritten rules broken last night. Stealing a base up four
they
late.
They should throw at some guys tonight. That's what I think. Rodriguez should go out there, buzz the tower, send a message. Be like, hey, we're not messing around, even though we're the Red Sox and we are three games under 500 at home.
So I had this discussion with Joe last night, because we've talked about this in the past, the whole unwritten rules of baseball.
There are so many.
Which means if they're unwritten, we don't know what they are.
Hard to say.
So
you can't be wrong, though. You can
so
just
apparently,
guess. Yes.
The Toronto Blue Jays last night decided that the Red Sox were either stealing signs or at least giving location. So... At one point late, Freddie Galvis is like boxing out Mookie Betts at second base. He's playing man-on-man defense, and he's standing in front of him like this, so Mookie can't see the hitter at home plate.
So dumb.
I mean...
It drives you nuts, because this became a huge topic during the playoffs last year about guys being, or teams, being so paranoid about sign stealing that that's why the game takes forever, because you got guys going through the indicator and everything else when nobody's even on base, because they're just so paranoid that either there's a camera in center field or one of the base coaches or somebody is looking in and seeing something. It's like, just get it and throw it. Just get the ball and throw the ball, please. We don't need any more of these 3-hour and 40-minute games, 4-hour games.
I do what you want to do. Steal signs. You'll be better. I mean, this whole...
But steal signs quickly. Signs quickly. Like, move on from it. Or if you have to change your signs, if you're the pitcher and you're worried about that, then change it and just move it a little bit quicker. You know, it's going to be harder if your pitcher gets the ball and throws the ball. Think about how much less time there is for the idiot on second base to relay to the guy hitting.
He's outside.
like just get it and go. And now what? He's going to be looking at the guy in second base, or is he going to be looking at the pitcher? Like, if everything speeds up, there's less of a chance for anything to be... Because now, not only do you have to steal the pitch or the location, but you have to communicate it to the hitter. And if you're doing all this a little bit quicker, won't that take care of the problem?
So tonight, Lou Merlone's going to join us in the booth.
Three-man booth?
With three-man tonight and tomorrow. Because I got to talk to Lou about this whole unwritten rule book thing and what you can do and what you can't do. Because Joe Castiglione said, stealing a base up four late was a borderline.
Oh, give
unwritten
me a break,
rule. He said, up five, you can't go. Up four, you can go. I don't know what the rules
that's
are.
That's so dumb. I think in this day and age where home runs are at an all-time high, the Red Sox have the best offense in the American League, you're up four and you got to just call it off? How dumb is that?
You don't
think the Red Sox could score five runs in an inning? I know last night they didn't score five runs in the game, but it was okay to steal. All right, well, good.
Five
good to
would
know.
Have been a breaking of the unwritten rule.
I think that is outrageous. I think you should always just play till the end. Now, if a team is up by, didn't the Giants win the other night like 19-2 or something like that? So if you have
if
you have a position player on the mound and you're stealing on him, like that's a different story. But a 4-run lead, even if it's a 6-run lead in Fenway Park. You're the Blue Jays. You can't feel all that good about your bullpen, which you're already into. So just steal. Go. Just steal. I don't care about that.
So
that's
last night, Gabe Kapler and his pitcher got tossed out of the Phillies game.
Yeah.
Because after giving up the go-ahead home run, his gutsy relief pitcher buzzed the tower, to use your term.
Yeah, he went in there. It's his plate,
well,
too.
Well, he also hit him in the back of the head.
Hashtag my plate. You don't think that's what he said?
So
he did that a little
bit? He gets tossed. Kapler gets tossed.
Yeah.
Now, if
they ended up winning that game, too.
Yeah.
And they there was a million home runs in that one.
Bryce Harper came through late.
Yeah.
But if there had been a brawl.
Yeah,
if I'm the Dodgers, I don't
want
to go near Kapler.
No, I'm saying
if you
want
the Dodgers.
No, make sure he's out of the game. Now we can start the brawl. Yeah, that'd be a whole different story with him out there throwing his weight around. But the Red Sox are a mess still.
I thought the beginning of the Andrew Cashner era was a strong one.
Yeah.
Here's my lone excuse for Andrew Cashner.
Spin it positive for
me.
No, it's the lone excuse I have.
He hadn't pitched since July 6th.
Rusty.
It had been, well, it's just, you get out of your routine.
It's true.
You hadn't pitched in 9 days. He even talked about it post-game last night because, and I'll give him this. Pitchers are such creatures of habit. It probably didn't help him that he hadn't pitched in 9 days.
I mean, it's still the same game for me. It's just, I think it was just more rusty. I was out of my routine. I'm looking forward to get back in the routine this week. But I think I felt like they did make an adjustment on me. But that's what good teams do.
Now, he had come off of his last five starts with Baltimore were all
strong.
Very good.
Very good.
Including this Toronto team, Cleveland, Oakland, Houston. So it wasn't like he was playing just a bunch of bums.
I mean,
Toronto actually is a bum team, but he already went through that lineup. So he had pitched really well.
The team that beat you 10-4 last night?
Yeah, the team that came into it 25 games under 500 and they scored 10 on you? Yeah, that's bad. You can't be messing around and losing games to the Blue Jays. Now, listen, if they come back and win tonight and tomorrow, then fine. You can't really expect a four-game sweep, but you got to take 3 out of 4. You have to. It's the Blue Jays. You're in a playoff race. You're down you're 3 games out in the second wild card with actually 2 teams above you for that spot. So Cashner, yeah, I'm not going to freak out. He's an upgrade over what you had as your fifth starter. And guess what? If Rick Porcello is your four, he's an upgrade over him.
He was the first fifth starter for the Red Sox this year to get into the sixth inning.
Yeah. Now, he didn't get any outs.
No, there was an issue in that.
But he gave it the old college try, and he was out there for the sixth. But he's a guy who's never going to, strike a ton of guys out. But if he can go 5-6, his two previous starts, the Toronto-Cleveland starts, last two with Baltimore, he went 7 in both of those. So that is a move where you don't have to say, who's this guy? Like, Josh Smith and Ryan Weber or, even Brian Johnson, who we are more familiar with. But you don't have to see those guys every fifth day. You now see Andrew Cashner. Great. I mean, he's not going to make or break whether you get into the playoffs or not, but he should help, even though last night was certainly not a good start.
I think you've got like a $230 million payroll.
Ooh.
I think it's the top payroll in baseball.
And so we crunched the numbers. The 3 teams in the wild card ahead of you, the Rays, A's, and Indians. If you add up their payroll, the 3 of them together, it is more than the Red Sox. But if you take any 2 of those teams and add them together, it's less than the Red Sox. And so that just sort of shows you, what the Red Sox are dealing with, how they can acquire their players compared to how the teams above them right now, the teams that are playing better than them, how they put their teams together.
So you've got this $230 million payroll.
Right.
And after your newly acquired starter, Andrew Cashner, your pitchers last night were Josh Taylor, Colton Brewer, Darwinson Hernandez.
Who are these gentlemen?
Exactly.
Who
now,
are,
Heath Hembry, you've heard
guys?
Of. He's been around.
Yeah.
And Ryan
I've
Weber.
Heard of him,
and
I mean,
and
I
Ryan
want him.
Weber.
That's right.
Now
this is a major league team.
You've got a $230 million payroll
right.
with a bunch of guys who sound like they belong in Pawtucket.
Yeah.
Hernandez was in Pawtucket until yesterday.
Oh, I mean, those are essentially all. I mean, you can nitpick maybe like Hembry or whatever, but those are AAA pitchers. You have a whole team of AAA relievers, and a big problem is when you don't have the closer, which they went into the season without a closer. You don't have him, and now you're jumbling roles all the way around. I think is anybody shocked that Ryan Brazier wasn't able to do it again this season? I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's a nice story.
I thought he was going to be the closer this year.
I know you had a feeling. You had a hunch that he was going to be a 40-save guy. But think about it. He's a guy. It was a good story. He took forever to get to the major leagues. Took forever. And then he gets in there last year and was good for him. But guess what? They didn't ask him to close. They didn't ask him to be the eighth inning guy. Occasionally he'd pitch the eighth, but they didn't ask him to do that all the time. And he was pretty good. And teams didn't really know what he was. And he got a lot of guys out. This year, he had some decent moments, but then ultimately, it just water finds its level. And Ryan Brazier sent back to the minors, and now you're saying, "Ooh, well, Darwinson's is back up." It's a mess. Not only did they not address the bullpen, it's worse than I thought it was going to be. It's no Kimbrel, no Kelly. I guess Brazier's back. You know, hey, don't forget Tyler Thornburg. I
mean,
these are things that Dave Dombrowski said. Like, yeah, we still got Tyler Thornburg.
Well, he listed four guys who could be the closer. Three of them are gone.
Right. Was it Brazier, Thornburg? Well, Workman's been the one guy maybe you think has been all right.
He's been actually really good.
Yeah, he's been solid, but that's not good enough. And it's crazy if you sit down and watch the Yankees play, the extremes. I mean, their starter goes five innings, and you basically go four closers in a row to finish the game. The Yankees have four or five guys better than anybody the Red Sox have, and that's who you were competing with for the division. That ship has sailed. But even some of these other teams that you're looking at, and you just look at their bullpens, and you say, how can this team that just won the World Series, how could you possibly go into the year with that as your bullpen, and then really no backup plan? Like, going in with Brazier, Workman, Barnes as your best arms in the bullpen does remind me of a couple of years ago when they said, yeah, Pablo Sandoval is our third baseman, and if not, I don't know. What do we do? And then clearly he wasn't ready, and then they had no backup plan. In fact, they traded away their backup plan at that point, which was Travis Shaw. So I still think I haven't given up hope that they're a playoff team, though, and maybe I should after, you know, another performance like last night. I just think their offense is too good. They score too many runs that ultimately they'll get into the wild card.
But think about this. You've just played two of a four-game set against the Toronto Blue Jays, the worst offense in baseball. 25 and a half games out of first going into last night's game.
Yikes.
You've just given up 18 runs to that team over the last two nights.
Amazing, isn't it? It's
now, you won one of them. Okay, great. I mean, I don't know how great you felt about a 10-8 win. Where you had a 5-0 lead in the first and had to hang on tooth and nail to grab a 10-8 victory.
I mean, at this point, there is no style points. It is just a win is a win for the Red Sox. I mean, it might be ugly, but they need to make up ground. You're right, Toronto's is a bad team. They got to try to right the ship some way. And unfortunately, Cashner wasn't good last night. But the other part of it, Dale, is last year, I thought they needed bullpen help too. And they had a bona fide closer, and they didn't address the bullpen. But what they did was they went out and got Nathan Eovaldi. And similar to Cashner in a way, we're like, all right, what's his role going to be? How's he going to help the team? And Eovaldi started a couple of games. It was really good. Then he had a couple of really duds. And then the next thing you know, he's in the bullpen. And then he ended up being one of the best performers they had in the playoffs. So, Cashner.
And then he was hurt.
But hey, but he's coming back and he's going to save the day.
Well, we think.
A guy who has loose bodies in his elbow and has been injured entire career.
Well,
he's
going to
be the answer.
We were talking about this in the press box last night.
Yeah.
Have the Red Sox ever said he's going to be their closer? I don't believe they have.
Ooh, I think they have, no?
Well, we were talking about this. It has been said that he's going to become their closer, but I don't think they've ever said it. I don't think Dave Dombrowski said it. I don't think Alex Cora has said it. A whole bunch of other people have said it about Eovaldi, and that's probably just based on, all right, who else you got? But I don't think they're saying it.
Okay.
I think they've said that he's going to, you know, work out of the bullpen.
Yeah, so what are you going to do, just throw him in the seventh?
Well,
I mean, I feel like he's $17 million. That's a pretty high-paid seventh-inning guy.
I just don't think he's physically ready to assume the closer's role. We're talking about a guy who's had two elbow procedures. You know, and all of a sudden now you're going to ask him to close three of the next four games? I don't think he can do that.
I don't think he can do it either. But I think that they don't really know what to do late in games. I think they're sort of throwing their hands up in the air at this point, and they say, well, this is what it is. Like, Alex Cora can only do so much.
I mean, yeah, I don't even blame Cora. I mentioned the pitchers that he used last night. He can't go to Barnes last night. He's used him too much. You know, you've got to save your closer, quote-unquote, Brandon Workman. What you're left with is Josh Taylor and Colton Brewer and Darwinson Hernandez and Ryan Weber. Who else is he going to go out to?
There's nobody. There's nobody. And you go.
By the way, Eduardo Rodriguez better go long tonight.
Yeah, they're gonna need him just a little bit, and that's the problem. And you can't rely on that either. Like you just can't. And you look at those names that they have, it's just, if you had one of those guys on the roster, you would say, okay, you know, not everybody has a bunch of arms in the bullpen that you're super confident
in. In fact, most teams don't.
Right. Hence why they are middle relievers, right? If you're a great pitcher in baseball, you're a starter. And then there's probably a dozen guys or so that are closers. And if you're not, then you end up being a middle reliever. Like, these guys didn't grow up in college or in high school or in the minors. They weren't middle relievers. They were starters. And then they ended up getting converted to middle relief. And you're trying to get the most out of it. But you look at those names and you say, wait a minute. How is this? This is the defending World Series champs? Like, what the hell happened? And you always account for a couple injuries here and there. That's fine. So you're going to have to test your depth a little bit. But it's really bad. And if they don't address it at all, then that just tells you that they don't think they can win this year. That just tells you that, you know what, we don't want to go over the luxury tax. We don't think this team is worth investing more money in. We're just going to let it play out, and hopefully, you know, Chris Sale turns things around, and hopefully the team plays better. Because it's so clear. Like, it's other teams, you're like, what's their need? And you're like, well, you know, maybe a guy that can, you know, hit lefties, or maybe it's a defensive replacement.
That's why Travis was brought in.
Yeah.
He pinch hits for Brock Holt last night because they got a lefty out there.
Yeah.
And he strikes out with runners at first and third.
Well, you can't have everything.
No, I understand. And by the way, I'm not suggesting, come on, he's got to get a hit every time.
No, I know.
But that's why he's here.
Right.
But off the bench who can hit lefties, I probably would have left Brock Holt in if I were Alex Cora in that situation.
Is it too much? Because when you look back at previous years, like when they've gone out at the deadline and they've made little tweaks, like I still look back at like the Bobby Kilty trade. Literally just the guy who could hit lefties. He was awful against righties, great against lefties. They brought him in. That was a skill set they didn't really have. Last year, when they went out and got Steve Pierce, same kind of thing. It was the exact same idea. Then they even went out and got Nathan Eovaldi, and they were able to add to that team. You can even go all the way back to 04, and obviously trading Nomar was a real shakeup, but the part of adding Doug Mankiewicz's defense, Dave Roberts' speed, it's like specific skill set things. For this team right now, their starters aren't good enough and their bullpen's awful. Like, you can't, at the end of July, get an entire new pitching staff. That's impossible. But I wonder, can one or two late inning guys, can that turn it around? And I'm still holding out hope that can be it. If you add two arms to the bullpen, would that fix things? Because they've had so many losses late in games. And if you correct that for the final 2 months of the season, that should at least be enough to make up three games on Oakland and Cleveland and or Tampa. That's what I think.
So there's a piece on MLB.com that suggests, you know, trades that should be made. You know, that
all right,
moves that should be made.
Let's make some moves.
And they've got the Red Sox should go out and get, I think it was Ian Kennedy, I think.
Okay.
Is that who it was?
Mr. Kennedy?
A relief pitcher from Kansas City.
Oh, good. I'll take Ian Kennedy.
And he was talking
about Will Smith.
That Kennedy. No,
Mr. Kennedy.
It's not Mr. Kennedy.
He had a nice run in like the mid-2000s there. Wasn't he a solid wrestler?
Well, sort of. And they were saying, this is a guy who makes all the sense in the world for the Red Sox. They need a bullpen arm.
Sure.
Okay, fine. He's 32 years old or whatever he is. He's been a starting pitcher.
Yeah, right.
This year they converted him to reliever, and he seems to have taken to it. Good.
My guess is
the Red Sox probably aren't the only team in Major League Baseball that needs that.
No, probably not. But again, you go back to last season, and it was pretty remarkable how many late inning guys, closers or setup men, were available. And every contending team in the American League, with the exception of the Red Sox, added at least one of them. You remember, Dale? Even the Yankees were like, why do they need Zach Britton? And they went out and got Zach Britton. The Astros got Roberto Osuna. The Mariners and A's thought they were both in it. They went out and got arms. The Cleveland Indians went out and made that deal with the Padres. They added two arms. Every single team. So my point is, all those guys were available last year. Every year, there are eighth, ninth inning guys on bad teams that very well could be in the last year of their deal. And if you're a team in baseball, why are you holding on to those guys? I think you'd be happy to trade them away. And it's not going to command top prospects. It's not like you're trading for Manny Machado. You're just trading
Cashner's case, they traded two 17-year-olds who were signed out of, I think, the Dominican, some Dominican league.
Yeah.
Literally, two 17-year-olds, yeah. And Baltimore had to eat part of Cashner's contract
right. exactly.
to make the money work.
So these even though, like, whether it's Ian Kennedy or Will Smith or whoever, even though there'll be a market for those guys, you don't have to go crazy. I mean, think about it. If the Red Sox were out of it, and some of you out there might argue that they are out of it, but if a team wanted Brandon Workman, you're not going to give up a ton for Brandon Workman, but he could help a team. Like, he right, could go right. in there and he could be a guy. So I think that's what the Red Sox need to look for, is what are other teams' Brandon Workmans out there at the very least, and then, you know, maybe go up from there.
It's got to be frustrating here. I mean,
yeah, it is.
The frustration from the Red Sox perspective, you're looking at 7 games this week, 4 against Toronto, 3 against Baltimore, and you're thinking, realistically, if you're the Sox,
you got to go 5-2.
At least 5-2.
Yeah, minimum
5-2. 6-1.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you just took the L last night, so.
And you give up 18 runs in 2 games to the worst hitting team in baseball.
Yeah. That's
suboptimal.
That's correct, Dale. That is exactly what happened. Yeah, the Blue Jays are a mess. I mean, you talk like, what are they playing for? I mean, I guess personal pride. I don't even know what else would be on the list. But, yeah, that's embarrassing. And the bad home record continues. And it also, to add to the frustration, they go on a nice little winning streak before the All-Star break. They come back out. You say, hey, you got L.A., the best team in baseball. Pretty easy to get motivated for that team. You lose 2 out of 3, including an extra inning game, which was kind of like a back-breaking kind of loss. And then you follow it up, and you've split the first 2 against a really bad Toronto team. And that is just, it's wildly frustrating. It's the only way to describe it.
We'll talk some baseball with you at the top, but we've got a bunch of other stuff we're going to get to throughout the course of the day, including is Bill Belichick the only difference between the New England Patriots and the rest of the National Football League? Is he the only thing that keeps them at the elite level that they're at? We'll talk about that as we go on. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We're starting to get these lists of the top 100 players in the NFL. That's coming out now as well. NFL Network is going to do it. CBS Sports already did theirs. We'll kind of kick some of those things around as well. But we'll get to the calls right after we give you Trending Now with Rich.
Not at all, actually. Just real quickly, you know, I worked for many years with a pitching coach named Dave Duncan. And Dave's favorite reliever, closer to look to was a guy who had been a starter, who has been used to getting outs with different pitches and feeling different, and especially is used to pitching in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. And that's what Nathan has. I mean, he proved that last year several times in the postseason. So he's got the experience to control his emotion. He's definitely got the electric stuff. I guarantee you, he comes out of that pen, there isn't any hitter in any club in baseball that's going to look forward to having to get a rally going against him. So I just think the key is, you know, get him used to pitching more often and being very careful with his usage.
That is special assistant to the president of baseball operations for the Sox, Tony La Russa. It was on our show, but we were both gone at the time. This was Thursday, July 11th. Mark James and Andy Hart asked La Russa if he was concerned about Eovaldi coming out of the bullpen, and that was his answer. You know, we've gone back through a lot of places, and I can tell you, La Russa said, you know, what Dave Duncan always said, the closer he wanted was a guy who's been a starter. He doesn't even say Eovaldi's going to be the closer. He says 7th, 8th, 9th innings.
But isn't it worse if he's just a 7th inning guy? Like, what an embarrassment.
I just think physically he's not ready to start yet. That's what they paid him for.
Yeah.
That's what they planned for him to be.
But I think it would be easier to be a starter and just go 5 innings. Guess what? That's what a lot of the starters do anyway.
A lot of them.
Go 5 innings every 5th day rather than you're in the bullpen and when can we use you, when can we not use you, and just all the uncertainty there. And listening to that Tony La Russa cut again, it's one of the ultimate, with all due respect.
Yeah.
Tony, he does not have a lot of experience pitching out of the pen.
No.
He does not have a lot of experience.
Playoffs last year, he did it.
7th, 8th, and 9th inning, he's talking about the makeup. He has no idea what that is like. And the really, the memorable relief appearance for Eovaldi was, I mean, you got to put an asterisk by that.
It was a 7-inning, extra inning, went forever.
Right, that was a start. So he has, in his entire career, he has pitched out of the pen 8 times in the regular season and 4 times in the playoffs. He also has a grand total of 0 saves. So that doesn't mean he can't do it, but to try to tell us that he has the experience and like he's, you know, that he's going to be comfortable doing that is just wrong. You have no idea how he's going to handle this.
So Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, was on Sirius XM talking about Eovaldi and talking about how they hope to be able to use him going forward.
It makes sense for everybody. You know, he's a competitor. You guys know him and how much pride he takes into competing and helping his team. You know, we saw it last year towards the end and what he did in the bullpen. And it was an ongoing dialogue the last 15 days. And everybody got together and he gave us the blessing. You know, he's like, you know what, for me to help this thing out, that this is the best way, the quickest way to do that. And yeah, we're not closing out the possibility of him starting later on this season, but having him throwing innings in games and helping us out that way, I think it makes sense right now, and that's the route we're going to go.
See, even he doesn't use the word closer.
In relief.
Well, giving us innings out of the bullpen. And by the way, that may be all he's physically capable of giving you right now. That's fine. But the idea that, well, he's just going to come in and close, right? Because he can throw 100.
Well, one of the problems with this, the 2019 Red Sox, is they don't use the word closer. Like, they're trying to do something different. Like, guess what? You need a closer. You just do. It's been proven out with all the great Red Sox teams. You do. Yeah. You absolutely do. And you can go around baseball if you want, but you don't even have to. Just look at all the great Red Sox teams. They all had a dominant closer, at least for that season. And so, right now, going in without one is just maddening. You have such a good team. It's irresponsible because you have such a good lineup. You invested a ton of money into your starters. Now, they haven't lived up to it for sure, but you invested so much money there, and then you just said, well, it'll figure itself out late in games. And now Eovaldi is also going to be a part of that puzzle. And if he's not your closer, he's just another arm where Cora's going to have to say, well, what do I do? Like, there's so much uncertainty.
And
even
LaRussa said in talking to James and Hart, you know, we got to be careful about how we use him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's great. Like, you have a weapon in the bullpen now, but we used him yesterday. I can't use him. And then you got to be afraid about getting him up and not using him or all this other stuff. And it's just, I don't know. It should help. Again, the list of names that you rattled off earlier, well, all the guys that are in the bullpen right now, I mean, Eovaldi is a step up. Even injured Eovaldi, loose bodies Eovaldi is better than those guys.
I don't mean to make it sound like this guy can't help. He will.
No, he can, but it's just
we've got it in our head. Okay, well, he's going to come in and be the closer for this team. I'm not sure he is.
It's just difficult to know what you're going to get out of him. Again, and not just the lack of relief appearances in his career, but also how healthy is he going to be? He made 4 starts earlier this year. He was terrible, and then he goes on the shelf. He's been out for forever, and they're already talking about, all right, well, he's going to come back and add to the team. And you just hope that Dombrowski's not looking at it saying, well, we don't need to add a reliever because we are. His name is Nathan Eovaldi, because that's add another one or two guys in addition to Eovaldi, and then maybe you have something. This can't be your answer.
All right, let's go back to Tony La Russa one more time, talking about why the Red Sox did not have a quote-unquote closer, like a Craig Kimbrel, going into this season.
Well, I think that decision, and I think it was a smart decision, was that you put a lot of resources behind our starting rotation, not just for this year, but for several years forward. Now, the point of the starting rotation, and this is something that I think will be true in the second half of the season, is the starting rotation. The best way to win is still for the starter to go into the last third of the game, get through 6 into the 7th. And the point I'm making is, you know, we haven't done that in the first half of the year. You know, for whatever reasons, we've had a couple of setbacks here and there, and we're mostly getting like 5 innings, which has really stressed the bullpen. When we get our starters to get deeper, then you'll see the guys are out there that when they've been fresh and not having been worn out, they're capable of finishing the game. And a lot of us are very excited that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be part of that.
To his point about the starters, he's right ultimately that if the starting rotation doesn't do its job, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
We go back to the whole Chris Sale situation. Chris Sale is 3-9 with a 4.27 ERA. He's given up 17 home runs this season. He gave up 11 all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
He has pitched into some tough luck at times. We talked about him pitching not getting run support. Happens to everybody. So apparently, yesterday, his bullpen in between starts yesterday at Fenway, was a family affair. Because apparently, most of the pitching staff went to the bullpen to watch Chris Sale throw. Alex Cora talking about, you know, teammates being teammates, being there, watching, you know, maybe they pick up something. That's where you're at with your ace, where you're counting on Colton Brewer to say, Chris, I think your shoulder might be dipping a little bit there.
So, Dale, I was worried about Chris Sale. Now I'm terrified. Like, he's a mess. You got to get a bunch of guys to hopefully see something there. That is awful news for Chris Sale. I read that article yesterday because I didn't know what was going on. They said, oh, Chris Sale draws a crowd. I think Tomasi and I'm sure others wrote about it.
Yes.
You're saying, so you're desperately looking for a guy on your team to say, ooh, wait a minute, your arm's kind of, you know, flying out there, or you check your plant foot. Like, shouldn't that be the pitching coach, the manager, and Chris Sale himself? If those guys can't figure it out, that means they have been trying for so long and they ran out of answers. And now they need somebody like a utility guy or one of these relievers who sucks. They need one of those guys to tell Chris Sale what to do. I mean, maybe they're more screwed than I thought. I thought three games out, you could still find a way to get into the playoffs. But a big part of that is going to have to be Chris Sale. Not only are they is he 3-9, but the team is, I believe, 6-13 in his starts. So every time Chris Sale's taken the mound since the beginning of the year, the team has only won 6 games.
Haven't been good recently. Just got to find a way.
Oh, my God. That's every start. That's every single start. He comes out, I suck.
Great. I'll give him credit. He never ducks it. He always takes responsibility. I don't know what else you want him to say. But ultimately, if he doesn't.
But if that's all you say,
right.
Like, it's not as refreshing anymore. Like, it's one of those guys that it was incredible the last couple of years when he was so dominant. Then he'd have a bad start and there was no excuses. There's still no excuses, but he's just talking about how he sucks all the time. You're like, okay, don't suck anymore. Like, you gotta figure this thing out. And if last year, he made 27 starts, because remember, he's on the DL a couple times. He made 27 starts. The team won 18 of those games. So they were 18-9. He had twice as many wins as losses when he was out there. And now it's the other way. So it's really no surprise that they are out of a playoff spot.
I'll give you a suggestion for Chris Price. I mean, heck, they're asking for suggestions from anybody.
Yeah.
This was a discussion point we had the other day before the game. David Price has gone almost exclusively to the stretch now. And that's what he does. Men on base, first batter of the game.
Yeah.
He's pitching from the stretch. Chris Sale has this elaborate, you know, complete effort, arm slot from every place kind of thing. Just go to the stretch.
Do something.
Go to the stretch for the foreseeable future.
Sure.
Tighten things up. It's like, you know, if you're having a real tough time on the golf course, I heard a pro one time say, just swing from 3-9.
You know, oh, yeah, like don't make it a huge
thing. Go from
thing.
3-9. Yeah, don't yeah, do the John Daly, you know, touch your right ear with your club type thing.
Yeah.
Simplify. And in Chris Sale's case, simplify. Go from the stretch. He pitches tomorrow afternoon. See if that just simplifies things and gets you back. And by the way, you can go back as you sort things out and you get things straightened out.
Right.
But at least to start, just throw from the stretch.
So I'll spin it positive because you know that's what I would always do. If Chris Sale can't figure it out this year, Dale, he can figure it out in 2020 or 2021 or 2022 or 2023 or 2024.
Okay, good news. Yeah.
That's how long you've committed to Chris Sale, which is looking like one of the dumbest contracts the Red Sox have given out, and they've given out a million dumb contracts. He was under. It's one thing if he was a free agent last year and you were just terrified to lose him and you said, listen, I know he was hurt, but this guy's too good. We got to lock him up long term. No, you had a year to figure this out, and this was the kind of thing. If Chris Sale keeps pitching like this and the year came to an end, do you think he'd still get however many $30 million a year? Probably not. And if you did, you're even dumber.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking
good.
My call.
Sure.
You know I'm a huge Yankees fan, right?
Oh, of course.
I do have a Red Sox question. Mookie Betts. Okay, you think he's regretting now not negotiating a new contract? Because it looks like he's not having even close to the season he had last year. And would his value now, by looking at him this year, go down? And could it possibly be like, okay, maybe he just had a great year last year, but this is really what Mookie Betts is?
His value his value hasn't gone down.
No, I don't think he's having regret. I mean, I think it's got to be in his head, and maybe that's what not why he's the MVP of the league. I think it's a little overstated, though, about like his struggles. He has an 869 OPS. He still has,
he's been hot as a pistol over the last 30 days or so.
Leads the league in runs scored, you know, even his average, which I know people don't care about.
Last night.
Yeah, it's up to 281. This is not as good as his MVP year. It's not as good as his year where he was the runner-up in the MVP. But that year in 2017, where it was the year in between those monster seasons, it's better than that year. And think about Bryce Harper's contract year. And then the amount of money that he got
didn't exactly hurt his
cash flow. And he was worse than this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Betts will get a lot of money. Although I could see another team, some team. All it takes is the one. All it takes is the one to give him $300 million. But I could see other teams having doubts and saying, "Well, is this guy going to break down?" You look at his body type and wonder how that's going to project forward. But I wonder if he's thinking about the contract. But he's still the money is still going to be out there for him.
So. David Price is back on Twitter.
Good.
WEEI.com has got an Alex Reamer blog, the headline of which is Dennis Eckersley still baffled over David Price airplane ambush. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. And he's talking about the piece written by Chad Finn, which is running in the Globe magazine and which was online yesterday. So David Price linked to the WEEI.com little tweet about it and then put seven little smiley faces, crying, laughing.
Oh, the cry
faces.
The cry emoji.
Yeah, the cry emoji.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
So he's back.
Well, he's never gone anywhere, has he?
He doesn't tweet a lot lately.
No. I don't follow him, believe it or not.
I do just for the crying face emojis.
You know what? I already saw it. Don't even need to follow him. I already heard about it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. You're just doing it on purpose now, aren't you?
Oh, 100%.
Shime plays the hits. What do you want?
Shime, here's an idea. Let's not try to tweak me. Let's worry about the listener, okay?
The listener could like this.
This is enjoyable. It's nice and mellow. What
that's
do you mean?
That's not what we're looking for.
Shime, yeah,
recommendation would be just a little bit more energy. Not like, you know, put you to sleep.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
I made a great suggestion to Shime. It was like this 1 minute long explanation, intricate song comeback with Chris Sale. It was so in depth and it worked. Flat out ignored.
No. He's just playing
did
stuff off his iPod.
Did it involve Carly Rae Jepsen?
No. It involved Vampire Weekend, actually.
Because that's where you were last night, right?
That is where I was last night.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
Carly Rae.
You and Reamer. And
Carly Rae Jepsen, one of the greatest first pitches in the history of ceremonial first pitches.
Really,
see that one?
Good.
Unbelievable first pitch. She almost killed herself. She fell off the mound. I don't even know if it hit like the mound dirt.
On the Dale and Keefe Twitter page.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted John. Not somebody.
It's
John.
John. It was John.
John tweeted
it was
out.
Me.
Yeah. John tweeted out. Here's Alex Reamer when he finds out that you know David Price tweeted about him. And it's a picture that looks like
it's the worst picture ever.
It's from Area 51.
What kind of phone do you
have? I couldn't tell if it was a human being.
The Naruto run.
Looks like a flip phone.
There's a lot of smoke in there that night.
You know? Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so,
very steamy.
All right,
in there.
So here's a plan. If you can't tell who it is,
yeah,
why are we tweeting it out?
Just awful.
It was just a thought.
Yeah,
I mean,
terrible.
What the hell?
You'd like to have that one back, I hope.
trying my hardest to delete.
What's the Carly Rae Jepsen crowd like?
A lot of metrosexual men.
Yes.
Is that where you fit in?
More men than women at the show?
Definitely more men than women.
Really?
Definitely more men.
That surprises me.
That does surprise me as well. Huh. There you go. Good to know.
Now, you were taking pictures of Reamer at the Carly Rae Jepsen concert.
I was. He was up on the balcony myself.
So you weren't with Reamer.
Does she have more hits than just that one that Call Me Maybe?
She has evolved a lot since
that song. All right, that's good to know.
She has two phenomenal albums that have come out since then. But Reamer was up on the balcony. He did not have a floor ticket. I gave him the... There's a very clear way to sneak
onto the
floor.
Is there a mosh pit going on there?
Oh.
Throwing elbows?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Black eyes, couple broken glasses, couple ambulances.
There you go. You're looking for a bar fight, Dale. You go to the
Carly Rae Jepsen show.
They had to pull out the limo ambulance like they did at Avicii at Rest in Peace at TD Garden a few years ago. They had like four of them out of the hands down.
Too much ecstasy at the concert.
Right.
People are overheating. That happens.
That can happen.
I'm glad with a hose when they get out.
In fact, I'm shocked you're even here.
I rode a blue bike back to my apartment like 5 miles at 11 p.m. So
he hasn't slept.
I'm shocked I made it. Yeah,
still got home sooner than I did.
That's true.
By the way,
late night at the old ballpark, and tonight little Sox talk. You gonna be a part of that when they're in the rain delay?
Really?
I mean, we're just laughing about that. You need to prepare yourself for that, Dale, so you're not surprised when all of a sudden, and the tarp is on the field.
Me and Will Fleming just sitting around. Cutting it out.
Yep.
Well, at least now you're well-versed in Area 51. You can bring that up to Will. That's true. Will's take on it.
I might have to get Will's
take. See if he's going to storm it.
Paul's in New Hampshire. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, good, guys. So Tony La Russa is lying or doesn't believe something he said. Because if you play back that recording, he clears his throat and does a pause. And I've interviewed people my whole life, and that's a pause when someone's trying to think about what to say instead of just saying it. So he doesn't believe something. So something about the starters and the closers, I don't know.
I'll have to, I didn't put as much thought into it as Paul did.
Well, I do think a lot of it is he is going to spin it positive. He's just,
talked about Cora. What's he supposed to say? We can't get anybody out? Of course
Chris,
he's going to.
That's what Chris Sale says every single start.
He says, I suck.
But La Russa to say, you know, they asked him about going into the year without a closer, and he said, I thought it was smart. Come on. How?
Yeah, nobody.
How could you? It's one thing if things were working.
Well, we put all of our assets into the starting rotation, not just for this year, but going forward.
Like, it was dumb. It was dumb at the time.
Yes.
And that's before you saw what this looks like. So it's one thing if you wanted to say then, hey, you know, other teams have done it, or you could make something up and say, hey, we are confident in the guys that we have. All right, well, fine, because we haven't seen it fail yet. Now that we've seen it fail, I don't know how you can still say it was a good decision.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We think that there is one reason and one reason only that the Patriots are once again considered one of the favorites in the National Football League. And believe it or not, it's not the quarterback. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.